What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club post-maternity leave. We are back together, about to recap our book of the last 2 months. And unfortunately, you know, I hate to start on a negative note. Let's not talk about the book yet, okay? Let's start with the girlies. How is everyone doing? Snitch, let's start with you.
I feel like if we should start with you.
Okay, thanks. I
Jack,
just, you know.
How are you doing, Madam Mama?
Anything new recently?
I've had like a few like small changes in my life. I'm doing really good. And as far as like how reading plays into being a new mom, I've actually found a lot of time to read, like when I get nap trapped and Harry falls asleep on me. Reading is the perfect thing. So I'm actually really excited because I feel like I'll be able to read more. Mm-hmm. Not as much as I was, but I thought I would never read again. So I'm glad. My issue now is that I'm reading books that are garbage. I'm on a garbage streak, not just this book. I'm on a garbage streak, and so I need premium book recommendations. So I'm just going to, like, put that out into the world. Please share those with me. But other than that, I'm really, really good. I'm excited to get back into the swing of things. I missed you guys, and I miss the Redheads, and, you know, I don't think we're ever going to be as united as we are in this episode.
I also am so excited that you can, like, breathe again.
Oh, my
right.
God, yeah.
That was really crazy.
You, like...
That was
literally gonna breathe.
It was like, yeah. So sad. We like all realized it at the same moment when you were literally gasping for air, and we're like, "Oh, our 9-month pregnant friend is on her last breath."
Yeah, no, I'm glad I can breathe again too. That I can fulfill my hosting duties because there's so much to say. And I really missed you guys. I'm sure I'll share tidbits throughout the episode. Also, I always share on the toast, you know, my journey and my experience. And if you want an even more personalized experience, it's all available at the Morning Toast Patreon. I don't want to cross my wires too much here, but yeah, I've been sharing everywhere. So check that out. Now, how are my ladies doing? Snitch, let's start with you since you so graciously threw back to me.
Oh, yes. I'm good. Life changes, but life is good. Snitch is in her season, and that's really all that we can ask for.
Snitch is in her season. You've done a lot in the last 2 months. I guess my last 2 months have been, you know, hunkered down in the home, chained to breastfeeding. But you've been, like, out and about, influencing trips, this,
Cabo,
that.
This, that, the next.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I've just been, you know, really embracing the life that I have here in New York. And... Aww. Yeah, it's been really fun. I can't complain.
That's so sweet. Bex, how about you? You just celebrated a birthday.
I certainly did. I guess this is time to announce that I turned 30, which is tragic and beautiful all at once. I honestly feel fine about 30. I feel like everyone like is like, oh my goodness, middle age. But I'm feeling great. I'm delighted and just like the happiest. I honestly feel like the happiest I've ever been, you guys.
Ooh,
I have
a thriving
book club.
Yes.
A book club podcast. And like everything is delightful.
You went to Brazil?
I went to Belize.
Same thing.
I went to January. I went to another country that started with a B in February. So thank you both for staying so close to detail. And
half listening, they are.
Truly, honestly, I was telling people that Belize was in South America for quite a long time. And Evan, my boyfriend, was like, Central America, you need to stop telling people that. Goodbye. I was like, okay,
honestly, I thought it was South America too.
No, like, we're all, like, losing our minds all at the same time. But everything's great. I'm just so happy, Jax, to hear that, like, reading has continued to be a core of your routine, because a part of me was so terrified. I was like, what if Jax just, like, simply doesn't have the time or space in this new world for the Redheads Book Club? But TRBC prevails.
TRBC prevails. I was worried that, like, my reading streak would be over. Like, I knew that I could, you know, probably muster up one book a month, even if I had to read it over the course of a month. Like, I could do the book club. But I thought that, you know, I would be done, like, reading back to back. And I just can't even imagine how enjoyable it's going to be to read, you know, good books at this junction in my life. But it's also hard, hopefully. It's hard choosing, like, context. I don't want anything, like, too serious. And I do really love historical fiction, but I won't read anything with, like, a war vibe. So it's got to be kind of light and airy. But then you venture into, like, mindless garbage nonsense, which is where I'm at right now in the book that I'm currently reading, which I'll share later in the show. Now, Public Enemy number one, Dana Holzberg. How are you?
Guys, I'm so overjoyed to be back together, even during these tense times. I'm still, like, reeling from the fact that a full-blown child emerged from Jackie this past month. Like, not really over that yet. And as for big events, it was April Fool's Day recently, my favorite holiday.
Yes!
And it wouldn't be a holiday if I didn't, you know, prank my redheads. I updated the Wikipedia page for Book Club to include our little gang, and it might still be on there. I don't know if the editors came by yet to correct it, but
Jackie, you should post it on the Reddit.
I should.
Only Snitch believed me.
People who know Dana and have been on, like, the Dana journey know that she is, like, the queen of April Fools. She pulls a prank every single year. Sometimes it totally hits, sometimes it misses, and at this point, like, we know that it's April 1st, like, check your text from Dana. But Dana cast a wider net this year, and she tried to prank the redheads, and she got Snitch so good. She sent a screenshot of the Wikipedia page. Yeah. She was like, everyone's been texting me, like, we're on the Wikipedia page for Book Club. And Snitch was like, oh my god, what?
And it was also it was before I, like, it was right when I woke up, so it was, like, before I, like, checked
that's
Instagram
when she
and stuff, and, like,
that's when she
yeah,
and,
like,
no,
April,
for 5
I realized it was April Fool's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the Dana
so
way.
It never crossed my mind.
I was anxious because I had set my alarm, like, later that day because I wanted to sleep in, but I was like, oh my god, if I sleep in too much, like, everyone's gonna know it's April Fool's Day.
Oh my god.
No, the thing that got me, I mean, first of all, I knew that it was coming because it's you, but also saying, you guys, everyone's been texting me nonstop about the book club description in Wikipedia. And I was like, red flag, red flag. No one cares.
As if everyone's constantly Wikipediaing the term book club.
Right, to see if we've made it. But you got the snitch.
You did get me.
It was
you
worth
got the
it.
Snitch.
It's all that mattered.
And how is everything else in your personal life?
The same. All good. No complaints over here.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're feeling stable because this is about to be a bloodbath.
We're about to rock your world,
bring
Brennan.
Bring it. I'm ready.
And actually, I'm excited because not wanting to talk about and, like, recap this book in the way that we do has actually inspired me to add another segment to this show called Book News, where there's been some, like, big book news that we need to talk about as the book girlies. The first thing being the trailer for Where the Crawdads Sing dropped. I know 3 out of 4 of us have read it. Snitch, you didn't read it, right?
No. Oh, because everyone told me I wouldn't like it.
She might not like it, but Taylor Swift wrote the song for the movie, so it is pertinent to your situation. And honestly, the trailer looks so good, and it looks like exactly in my head what was going on when I read the book. Like, I think it's going to be a perfect mirror image.
Maybe I'll read it. Should I read it before or after?
Yes.
Read it, Snitch. It's so good.
Okay,
it's
fine.
So good, and I'm really glad that the trailer, like, lives up. And when I read the book, I didn't imagine Daisy Edgar Jones as Kaya, but now I see it.
I see it. It works.
It works. And then the other piece of book news is that The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is going to be made into a movie over at Netflix, which is just going to be so premium because it's the best fucking book of all time. Like, the more bad books I read, the more I appreciate Evelyn Hugo. And there is a rumor swirling around that Anya Taylor-Joy is going to play Evelyn. And I have a hot take, but, like, I'm not completely here for that choice.
I picture Evelyn as like more voluptuous.
Mm-hmm. And I love Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, I would put her in everything, starting with The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. Mm-hmm. But I always had in my head as like Aza Gonzalez for Evelyn Hugo. And I just want to put that out into the universe in case they're still casting and looking for influential reader opinions.
That it's by no means confirmed. It's just swirling.
No, but now that it's swirling, like, I hope it swirls up that, like, we weren't here for the Anya.
Yeah. That people are like, no, and then they, like, retract. Maybe they did that on purpose to, like, you know, they leaked it to see what people's reaction was.
Yeah. So I just want to put Aza Gonzalez out there. I think that, like, that's a match.
I see that, too.
Okay. So I guess, you know, I tried to delay long enough. I guess it's time to talk about this book.
Really like that new segment, Jack.
Right? Because I just felt like there was so much book news, and everyone always, like, tags me in it and, like, wants to get our thoughts. So let's share our thoughts when there's pertinent book news.
Beautiful.
Now, our book this month was Our Country Friends by Gary Steingart. It was a Danish choice, and unfortunately, Danish streak has come to an end. A roaring end, and in a very big, utterly catastrophic way.
As all good things do.
All good things, yep. I'll do a quick synopsis of the book and then we can discuss our thoughts. But the book is about 8 big losers who go upstate to quarantine together during the beginning of the pandemic. Now, each character is loserier than the next. We have two. So I'll set the scene, even though nobody wants to go back down this road. But here we go. We have Sasha, who is, you know, a writer and a professor and a, like, wannabe TV producer adaptations of his books. And his wife, Masha, they own, a little property with a bunch of houses in upstate New York. And they have a daughter named Natasha, who loves BTS and just seems like a very anxious but precocious camper. Then we have Sasha's friends who are joining him in the beginning of the pandemic to, like, isolate outside of the city. First, we have Ed, who's just like an international man of mystery, I would say, you know, never tied down to one place or one person. We have Karen, who is the inventor of an app called True Emotions that makes no fucking sense. Like, the app, you take a picture with someone and it shows you how much you love them, and then you can't stop loving them, and then you give everyone COVID because you love them, ? But Karen seems like a cutie enough, but she's like feeling unfulfilled in her life. Then there's Vinod, who is also Sasha's friend from high school, and he is in love with Karen. He also just recovered from lung cancer, so he has half of a lung. And he's just a sweetie and just like pijam wanting to be with Karen, but knowing that she doesn't love him. Then we have Dee, who's a little bit of a Southern belle. She's a writer and she was Sasha's former student. Weird that she'd be quarantining at her professor's house. red flag, red flag, red flag. And then there is the actor who we find out at the end of the book. His name is Joel, but he's like, you know, the greatest actor of our time. And he's quarantining with these losers upstate because Sasha wants to make a TV show with him. Now, I think that's the cast of characters. And so they're there for what felt like months, but then they keep saying weeks. And people fall in love. People fall out of love. They're incredibly, like, boring and just, like, hanging around. Then eventually the actor leaves and comes back. And when he comes back, he brings COVID with him. And he gives it to Karen, who gives it to Vinod, who is immunocompromised. And Vinod dies in the end. So that's the book. I think I summed it up. Dana, did I miss anything?
No, it was very objective.
I think we missed the small detail at the end where Masha and Sasha, like, sign over their daughter to Karen.
Their daughter and then Karen and their and house.
Masha become
co-parents.
And their house. And then Karen and Masha become co-parents of their daughter so Sasha can continue writing, even though I didn't know that you could do both, be a father and write a book. You just had to excuse yourself from one of the obligations.
Because that's the other thing. Natasha, the daughter, really bonds with Karen during the quarantine because Natasha loves BTS and Karen is Korean, and so she's teaching her all of these different things. And they just have, like, a really sweet relationship. So it made sense that Masha would hand her over at the end of the book.
When you put it that way.
Okay, so let's get into our thoughts on the book. Let's start on a positive note. Dana, let's start with you, since you chose the book also.
Okay, you know what, guys? I wanted to dislike it. Like, I wanted to join with the cyberbullies. I wanted to get in on the backlash and, like, have this be a cohesive episode where we just bash the book. But, like, the truth is I actually genuinely liked it. And I know that
you're
comes
a fucking
shock.
Liar. You're
I'm
a
not
fucking
lying.
Liar.
I don't think she would lie. I'm honestly like,
no, I don't think she's lying.
I don't think you would lie, but now I'm looking at you differently.
I wanted to not like it. Like, I seriously was like excited to bash it, but I don't know. It had the ingredients I like in a book: character development, relationship evolution. I thought it was so well written. It was boring. It was flawed. There was nothing exciting that happened, but I kind of liked it. Like, it was representative of how the pandemic really felt to me at that time, which was so dragged out, so long, not knowing which day was which, like not being able to keep track of anything. And no, it wasn't awesome to revisit that little piece of PTSD that we all have from March 2020, but like ultimately, I thought it was funny. I thought it was sad. I thought there was a spectrum of emotions involved, courtesy of the great writing, that equaled to me a pretty good book.
Damn. I mean, like, going into this book, like, we knew it was about, like, March 2020, a bunch of people are going to quarantine together. And I thought, like, from there would be, like, more of, like, a thriller mystery whodunit sort of thing, not, like, a expansive character development sort of thing. And I think what was really frustrating is the book was written from, like, a perch of the future, because they would be, like, the narrator would be, like, what happened next? You know, they could never expect. And I felt like with all of the COVID stuff, like, even though we're in the future and you're writing it with hindsight, like, there was no commentary on how silly so much of the stuff was. Like, first of all, Masha becomes like this authoritarian figure in the house, like trying to get everyone to like distance and do this and that, but she's literally sleeping next to a man with a cough and doesn't think for a second like go in the other room, you know,
and giving hand jobs in the shower.
When Karen and Natasha are going for a walk upstate, no one's around them and they're wearing masks. Like, do you want to comment on the silliness or
not? Thought the exact same thing.
But see, at the time, yes, like, everyone was doing that. Yes, but like, there was no commentary on like how people lost their minds.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating to like relive it, but without like the benefit of hindsight that we have now.
But I think that's how people still feel now. Like, they're still losing their minds. They're still inconsistent. They're still illogical. Like, people are engaging in those same behaviors as they were before we knew anything. So it almost shows you how not far we've come from having zero information to way more information, and we're all still wearing masks.
I agree with that, but I don't want to read about those people who have information and choose not to use it.
You guys, I didn't know that this was about the pandemic until obviously I started, and like, I texted you bitches and I was like, is this fucking book about the pandemic? Like, honestly, the second you saw that, Dana, you should have been like, immediately no. Like, this is not my choice.
Is this
not only that? When we say you don't judge a book by its cover, you should have absolutely judged a book by its cover. Did you see the cover of this book? It looked like it was like art from 1980.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know, I kind of like the blue.
I'm going to fess up. Everyone runs their choices by me. I thought it was a cute choice. I liked the cover. I judged the book by the cover and the title and the glass of wine on it, country. Oh. I was like, okay. It says it's a masterpiece. Okay. Also, you know, I trust Dana's choices. And I did read the description, and I thought it was like, I thought the pandemic was just going to be like a reason for all these people to be in a house together, and then like the house was going to pop off, you know?
Yeah.
And it did, in the form of someone dying, someone losing their mind.
I realized that the book was like venturing towards someone dying of COVID, like, I couldn't have imagined it got any worse, and it did. And then also, like, living through the fever dream of, like, his death, that was painful.
But captivating.
Can I give you my thoughts?
Yes.
Please. Oh, yes. Rebecca, what did you think about this book?
Okay, I have two sets of thoughts and feelings. The first, allow me to read the audience the notes that I took whilst reading.
Please do.
I have so many questions. Who is cooking for all these people, all these meals? Who is doing the laundry? That shower situation was unbearable. Who is paying for groceries? Sasha is poor.
Sasha was paying for groceries and, like, he was in debt and then eventually had to go to Ed and, like, ask for a loan.
But I'm sorry. Have these people lost all sense of decorum? They go and inhabit someone's home for months on end and never once offer to pay for groceries or rotate chores or rotate cooking obligations. It was mind-boggling. And also, like, Sasha is so clearly unwell. No one at any point thought, hey, like, let me pay for effing groceries. It was just so crazy to me. These people have their heads so far up their assholes.
Yeah, but I think Sasha was, like, the kind of guy who wants everyone to, like, think that he's, like, this big macher. And he would never, like, he wanted to, like, put out this front, like, I'm taking care of you, I'm the host, this and that. And he seems like the type of person that, like, if you offered to pay for something, like, he wouldn't allow it, even though, like, he was going into credit card debt, like, trying to pay for it.
It was so crazy. I loved the scene when Sasha and Ed, he finally asked him for money, and it was hard for him, and he was embarrassed, and Ed was, like, kind of gleeful that he was put in a position to be of power and said, yes, why didn't you ask sooner? We've been here forever. And Sasha was like, I didn't think I had to, and also, you never offered. And I, like, loved that line. It's like, oh, right, you never fucking offered.
And it's also crazy. It's like, it went from, like, I could use help with the groceries to, can I have $10,000?
Yes.
100%.
I hate when that happens.
My notes also continue this way. The abrupt hand job one day in between Masha and the actor. Are we kidding? Why was no one addressing Sasha's very obvious illness? What the fuck is this app? I don't understand. You can judge a book by its cover. Do any of these people have jobs?
I had that question too.
Also, the confusing writing style of, like, the author would lead into what you thought was a hypothetical situation, and I could never tell if it was hypothetical. Like, when Vinod and Karen had their first, like, love moment, I couldn't tell if, like, Karen or Vinod, whoever it was really high, because, like, they talked about how they smoked pot and, like, then it, like, happened. I couldn't tell if it was, like, her high imagination going crazy and, like, it was just, like, a hypothetical unfolding and then she snapped into reality. But as I was reading, I was like, wait, is this real? And that happened to me so many times throughout the story that I couldn't tell if it was real. And then at the end, when it was Vinod's fever dream and he was dying again, I was like, is this fucking real? Is he dying? Is he alive? I don't know what's going on. It was just confusing.
Right. And then at the end, like, he sees that Sasha and Karen banging. And it's like, is that what happened at that party in the 90s? Because earlier in the book, he said, like, when he thought about that party, like, he kind of got a pit in his stomach and he couldn't remember why. But I think you would remember if your two best friends were fucking.
Yeah.
No?
No, that
Dana,
part.
Dana, would you like to shed some light on the situation?
I think it's supposed to be, like, we don't know if it was just a fever dream that was, like, sparked by a subconscious pit that he couldn't even place when he was looking at the picture of why he felt so weird. Or if, like, it didn't happen and he was construing it all. That part was the only, in my opinion, thread that was left unsaid. Like, that was the only question mark I had besides what the fuck the True Emotions app did.
Right.
That was so, so mind-boggling.
Yeah, that was, like, confusing.
The entire, like, multiple people's lives fell apart because of this app. A picture was taken and you're in love?
Yeah, it's just like a leap of faith, you know, to operate under the guise that, like, that is something that could happen. And he could be so in love and, like, not be able to function.
It kind of
have to go live in an abandoned camp.
It reminded me, Jackie, of the unfortunate importance of beauty a little bit, that app.
I guess so, but, like, that was a magical, realistic book. And this was supposed to be, you know, Tchaikovsky or whatever. Chekhov. Snitch. What did you think about the book? We know you loved it so much.
You guys, I hated this book so fucking much. Like, Ghosts of Gotham was the best book I've ever read in comparison.
Hey.
Like, I can't
bring us back to Ghosts of Gotham.
I can't even begin to tell you, like, my distaste with this novel, which I wouldn't even call a novel. Also, I don't even know what happened, like, if anything happened. Like, I literally, like, I would, like, listen to it and read, and I wouldn't even try and internalize what the fuck was going on because I so didn't care. So I think that about sums up how I felt about this book. And then also there was just, like, random sex scenes. Like, all of a sudden, Alba would be, like, listening on Audible. And then it was, like, he was inside of her. And I was, like, wait, who and why? Like, I was confused.
You're, like, back it up. This is the part that I'm here for. It's now a snitch's choice.
Yeah, I was, like, oh.
It was wrong.
Let me go back 30 seconds. Yeah, I know.
But it was, like, not cute. Like, I don't know. Everyone, I guess, fell in love. And it's funny. The description of the book is, like, 8 people, 4 romances, 6 months. And it's like, romances? I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I guess people linked up, but I didn't even think of, like, that's how it happened. It was so not romantic.
Also, weren't half of them, like, affairs?
Yeah, so, okay, only these are the links. We had, obviously, Vinod and Karen, Ed and Dee and the actor, and the actor and Masha. I mean, Sasha really got screwed because he didn't get screwed.
Yeah.
Also, the actor just abruptly being like, oh, yeah, me and Dee are going to move into your house, and you and your wife and child are going to move out of your house, even though you've been hosting us for months on end, feeding us, doing our laundry, doing our chores, and just making us continue to live.
No, that's so, and then, like, and then
you're gonna move into the guest house.
He leaves, and, like, that's insane behavior. Like, if anybody were to do that, like, I would never look at them the same again. So, but he leaves, whatever, and they, like, treat Dee like it's fine. Also, like, Ed was clearly Dee's second choice. Like, both of them loved her, and she chose the actor. Then she got canceled. Then he left, and all of a sudden, she loved Ed all along. Like, is it? It's a joke.
Which, by the way, I don't blame her for choosing the actor. Like, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm glad that, like,
as fuck.
I'm glad her and Ed were OTP, but, like, how are we just going to skip over the fact that she didn't choose him when she had a choice?
And then they were rewriting history. They're like, we're pretty sure Dee was in love with Ed the entire time.
Like, what are sure. These people are, like, I'm just, I can't relate to anyone or anything.
It's just, like, not real.
It's not real. I
like,
agree.
It's not real. But yeah. These people didn't act like genuine human beings with a brain and, like, logistics. Not logistics. I think they're just all, not logic.
Yeah, I think, like, they all were just so, like, self-absorbed and, like had their heads so far up their asses that, like, they just didn't know how to function. And then, like, all of them together being that same personality type – and I feel like they thought that they were, like, such individual artists. But really, like, a bunch of those people together are just painful. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I don't know if I'm overgeneralizing, but it was painful.
No, they were not, like, fabulous.
Dee's, like, no. An, like, big proclamation of, like, the wealth gap in America and going around and saying everyone's, like, net worth around the table. I'm sorry. Like, go the fuck away. Shut the fuck up.
That's no, when, like, Masha was funny when she was like, I think Dee is trying to justify all of her actions by pretending she's poor, but that's actually a lot of money for a 30-year-old Dee.
No, yeah. Like, each character, like, thought they were doing something, and then the book also thought, like, it was doing something, and it was just doing nothing.
100%.
And before we get into the book, I would just say that my thoughts, and it's so hard because even when I'm reading a book and it makes me so angry, like, I hate to be such a negative Nancy because, like, someone spent their time writing this, and that's worth something. But I don't feel bad because, like, this book is a New York Times bestseller. Like, it's, you know, a masterpiece. It's critically acclaimed. So, like, if the Redheads didn't like it, like, they can withstand a little hate. Mm-hmm. And I really hated everything about it. From soup to nuts. Like, it just kept getting, and I was really optimistic in the beginning. And I try to be very impartial on this show, too. Like, I'm always in between Dana and Snitch. I'm always riding the middle, but I just can't. I hated it so much. It was not enjoyable. Even though this, I mean, it already at the outset, like, it was starting at a loss because it was, like, so pandemic heavy.
Yeah.
But I still kept an open mind because I said to myself, like, you knew it was going to be like that and you said it was okay. Because I am still waiting for, like, the book or the movie or the show that sums up the pandemic, you know? And I'm realizing this is now the second book that I've read about COVID. I don't know which one is worse, Wish You Were Here by Jodi Picoult or this one. Probably, it's so hard. They were both so bad. They were both the worst books I've ever read. And I don't want to tell my rating, but they both got similar ratings for me, a rating I've never given before. So maybe just, like, the book on the pandemic shouldn't exist, you know?
Mm-hmm. Unless it's, like, a textbook.
Yeah,
I think we're all just too triggered by the content. Like, it's just too fresh for us.
Yeah. Also, like, there, you don't need to be writing about the pandemic. Like, I think we're still technically in one. Like, can you, like, give us, like, 10 years or something? Like,
no, but then once we're out of it, like, I don't want to go back. So
that's fair.
Okay, Dana, one thing I will say is, like, I didn't hate picking it up, which is so weird. Like, I didn't dread picking it up, but I just hated the people so much But I was, like, sort of comforted by, like, the country surroundings.
Yeah.
And maybe because I spent the pandemic for the most part outside of the city and surrounded by nature, that I felt a kindred connection there. But that was something bizarre that, like, I didn't hate picking it up, but I did hate what was inside.
I agree with you completely. I didn't hate picking it up, maybe because I knew I had to read it for the Redhead, so it's not like I can dread it or decide not to pick it up. But, like, when I was – it was also nice to just be, like, in a book, you know?
Yeah.
So I was
in the book. But you could have been in a good book.
I know. Someone send me one, please. Like, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. Okay, you know what? We've been doing this episode for 30 minutes and we haven't even gotten into the DBQs. So now it is time for the DBQs. This book does get an extra point because it came with a book club guide with questions, character intros, drink recipes, you know, a recipe for a mezze platter. So that does earn points in my column. And before we get into
the
DBQs...
They knew they had to make up for something.
They knew that they did. Before we get into the DBQs, I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Function of Beauty. As a bunch of girly girls who love hair care, Function of Beauty is essential for all of us. We love Function of Beauty because it's fully customizable hair care that creates individually filled shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment formulas based on your hair now and where you want it to go. So there's no reason all of us should be using the exact same shampoo because we don't have the exact same hair. Here's how it works. You take a hair quiz to build your hair profile and select five hair goals like lengthen, volumize, and oil control. They also ask you such in-depth questions like what sort of environment you live in, you know, if you're in a city, so they can get a sense of, you know, what's polluting your hair every day. They ask if your hair gets frizzy in the winter but oily in the summer. Function formulas are meant to be changed when your needs change. Next, you choose your color and fragrance, or you can go dye and fragrance free in your bottle. And then you get a freshly filmed formula delivered straight to your door. And you can prepare for good hair days ahead. Also, it's just like so aesthetically pleasing, especially if you have like a color palette in your bathroom. You can choose bottles that match that. My bathroom has a lot of blue accents, so I have blue Function of Beauty bottles and it just looks so good. They're also like big jugs and I use a lot of shampoo and conditioner, so they last really long and they look really pretty. Usually jugs don't look pretty. Say goodbye to generic hair care for good today. Go to functionofbeauty.com/book to take your hair goals quiz and you'll save 25% on your first order. Go to functionofbeauty.com/book to let them know you heard about it from our show and to get 25% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/book to take your hair quiz and save 25% on your first order. Yeah, treat yourself to a little self-care after having read this book. Now, DBQs. First question, I guess this is for Dana. How did you come to our country friends? What was your overall impression of the story, the writing, the style? If you have read Gary Steingart before, how does this novel compare to his others? How is it different? Now, we've touched on most of those questions, except for Dana, have you read Gary Steingart before?
I did. I have to say his book Lake Success was one of my favorites ever. I know I've lost all credibility, so like don't read it because I don't want you guys to hate it, but it was way better than this one and just like a solid book. And his other book that I read was Super Sad True Love Story, and that was out there and I didn't really like it that much, so definitely don't read that one.
Okay, so and I guess that makes more sense as to why you chose this book. If you had like one that you loved by the author, one that you liked. That's why I'm reading this book right now by an author who I read before, and so I just assumed it was going to be good and I assumed wrong. And so I'm glad you at least read some of his other better books. But would you say that this was as good as Lake Success because you liked this book?
No, it wasn't as good as Lake Success. I solely chose this book because of how much I loved Lake Success.
Okay.
Okay. That is insightful.
It's forgivable.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next question. The catalyst for the story is the pandemic. What was your experience when a huge swath of the nation went into lockdown? If you created a pod with neighbors and or extended family or friends, were there any particularly charged dynamics at play?
Honestly, yes. I lived with my sister, her husband, and my nephew during the pandemic, and a man who is now my ex-boyfriend because of the pandemic. And there were incredibly charged dynamics at play. We literally all hated each other so fucking much, except for me and Liam, my nephew. We were honestly like better than anyone else. But like the cooking, honestly, the cleaning, like it all really comes into play. But I don't think at any point we became as loco hot cocoa as the people in this colony.
Yeah, but I feel like they never really turned on each other in, like, that cabin fever sort of way. Like, they just, like, showed up crazy and then continued to behave that way. But I would feel like, first of all, these were all annoying characters who had offended, like, done, like, some bad shit to each other. Like, Sasha, you know, telling Vinod that his book was not good and then burying it, literally, is probably, like, one of the worst things a person could do, especially knowing how the book ends and, like, Vinod never get to, like, have his glory. Like, that's friendship ending for me. So not only, like, did those things not affect their friendships, but also, like, the small menial things of living with people, like, didn't get under their skin either. And that's just not relatable. That's not real life.
There was a time where Karen told Masha that she wasn't a real mother.
Right. I guess, like, things got heated.
That fight was crazy. Yeah, when Masha lost her mind on them about Vinod getting COVID. And I thought Sasha's opinion was, like, correct. He's like, why is she freaking out? This is unprecedented times. This is, like, unintentional. It's not really our faults.
Yeah, but again, it's like they were all being, like, so COVID crazy stupid the whole time. But someone shows up to the colony with COVID and you're going to go in there and talk to him just wearing a mask and opening the windows and hoping for the best. Like, why don't you let him finish out his quarantine? Like, FaceTime him and help him get off of true emotions. Yeah. Like, so silly, stupid. Like, here's COVID at your front door and, like, now you're going to act stupid?
Also, why did the actor insist on being such a freak when he was describing getting COVID and calling it, like, a secret sauce or something?
A secret sharer.
What the? Why? No, honestly, no. Why? Like, can someone explain that to me?
Dana?
I think that wasn't the actor describing it that way. I think that was, like, the omniscient narrator setting the stage as he did frequently throughout the book where he was like, and right when you think things are going well, something bad's about to happen. I think that was him injecting, like, and when, even though the actor didn't know it yet, like, it was crawling through his body at rapid speeds. I think that was supposed to be, like, removed.
Hmm.
But who knows?
I'm sorry, I still don't understand the secret sharer element. It could still be COVID crawling through his body, and it doesn't have to be named the secret sharer.
Agreed.
Next
question. The milieu of the novel is Chekhovian.
What?
Dana, explain yourself, Dana.
A group of family and friends at a country estate.
That's what milieu is?
There's a word for literally that.
Oh, no.
That's not what
I was finishing the colon definition in the study guide. Milieu is like a social environment.
A person's social environment. Yes. Okay.
How do you spell that? I like that.
M-I-L-I-E-U. That's M-I-L-I-E-U. A good word.
That's a good word. I'm going to incorporate that into my vocabulary.
The milieu of the novel is Chekhovian, a group of family and friends at a country estate. Which characters resonated most with you and why?
Honestly, Nat, only because I can understand being obsessed, like, with a musical artist, and that's it.
Okay, I love that snitch.
I thought Dee was funny. Like, her banter when these guys were hitting on her, I thought was quick. Like, if someone said the things to me that the actor and then Ed were saying, I feel like I'd be uncomfortable and not know how to react. And she always, I thought, respond with, like, canned answers that I appreciated.
Yeah, she was, like, cute. Also, I mean,
Say a good thing.
No, but I guess one, like, you know, flattering moment for her was when she was going on the walk with the actor and she was, like, not going to change her clothes because she didn't want to, like, look like she was trying too hard. But, like, she did, like, put on, like, make everything else about her, like, look nicer than usual so that, like, she would look better. But I just thought that was, you know, like, just a cute girly moment.
She plucked her eyebrows.
Right. Exactly. Like, things that he wouldn't necessarily notice, but she's looking better.
I thought Dee was an absolute terrorist and there was nothing redeeming. However, I feel like I most resonated with Ed because he was, like, a little bit just cynical at all times and loved to cook. And I feel like if I had to be around those people at all times, that cooking would be the only thing keeping me sane.
Yeah, I agree. Ed was a good character. And, I mean, Karen had her moments, but then she also had bad moments. And I don't understand how, like, after a lifetime of turning down Vinod, who seems like a literal pijam, like, now we're good and we're in love. And that just makes the ending, like, even harder. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, that was like, we're stuck here.
Next to the rusted antique bathroom mirror in the writer's cottage is a framed James Baldwin quote. Love, the quote says, "Love takes off masks that we fear we cannot live without and know we cannot live within." What does this quote mean to you, and how does it relate to the book?
Is it a double entendre because they're talking about masks for half the book?
Yeah, for sure. And it's just a coincidence that that was the quote that was hanging in the cottage.
Nothing's a coincidence.
No, Snitch, that's a good observation. It's like they have their literal masks that they can't take off because we're in a pandemic. And then they all have their figurative masks where, like, everyone has an ego where they're scared to be their true vulnerable selves because they have a chip on their shoulder. But, like, slowly those masks emotionally get removed throughout the book and, like, you get to see the development.
So I really like that. I like that, what you said, but that's, like, not what I got from the book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, Dana's just, like, morphing this book into what she wants it to be and not what it is.
She's rewriting
the
narrative.
I'm definitely trying.
No, I'm sure that, like, that's, you know, somewhere deep down, like, that's something that's part of this book. Like, they're wearing masks and they're also, like, wearing masks. And I just never read it that way. And so I would say that's, like, a failure on the author's part for not having me see it that way. You know? Next question. Couplings, hookups, crushes. Our country, friends, is full of desire. Were there any romances or lustful encounters that were unexpected? Yeah, I would say the hand job with the deer shampoo. Was there a pair you wish had gotten together? If so, who and why? No, I feel like everyone really, like, tried everyone.
Yeah. The shower was the most disturbing. And when she, like, so matter-of-factly told Sasha exactly what went down, like, weeks later after the actor had left, that was disturbing.
No, I respected that.
It was just,
no, but, like, the
honestly,
way.
It was the best policy.
Yeah. No, but, like, she literally said, there was a few times that he came in my hand. Like, she was fucking
grabbing. A few dozen times, she said.
So
that's not
weird.
Possible. See, like I said, they're not real.
You guys, it literally started on the second day that they were there. Like, he pulled into the driveway, like, it was late at night, so, like, it wasn't even a full day he was there, and the literal next day, there was a hand job going down.
Yeah. Like, just bizarre.
It's just, like, I'm sorry, like, they're artists, but they're not deaf, dumb, and blind. Like, how does this happen?
No, yeah. Because they're not real, Rit.
They're not real. Right. It was too unreal, honestly.
It's too out there.
Agreed. Two out there. Next question. The actor falls hard for another out there storyline. The actor falls hard for D after experiencing Karen's app True Emotions. Do you believe in love at first sight? What have been your experiences with finding the one? When it comes to love, do you believe in soulmates or serendipity or something else entirely?
Because this question doesn't apply to me, I'll be right back. I have to get my glasses.
I just like this question. Even the book club questions, like, are fatiguing.
Like, I don't believe it love at first sight because that's not what happened. The actor and D saw each other. He had no
interest.
Not a second thought about her. Would be fine to never see her face ever again. And then all of a sudden, this weird app convinced him that he needed to think otherwise. And so clearly love at first sight doesn't exist. And it's just this insecure man falling at the whim of whatever technology tells him.
I'm like fine with love at first sight because I do think that, like, you can see someone and, like, be have, like, such a mutual attraction, but then you can get to know them and it sucks. But also, like, the chances that you get to know them and you really connect, and you could chalk it up to love at first sight, like, we saw each other first, but it's not necessarily like you knew that you would love their personality, but you also happen to love their personality. So I think that can happen.
I believe in lust at first sight,
of course, Miss Kiz,
but love, that's dramatic.
I think love at first sight can happen, but it's, like, more so coincidental. But also, one of books that I love, One Day in December by Josie Silver, I'll be coming back to that in a second, is a book predicated on love at first sight. And, like, that, it all, that, I believed in that and I was here for that. And so I can roll with a love at first sight storyline. And this one was just not it, especially, like, the technology, like, brainwashing you. It's just, we have so much, like, far out technology already. Like, please work within the existing framework. Like, don't make us go elsewhere, you know?
Agreed.
Next question. When Sasha first encounters the mysterious black pickup truck, what did you think it was, or what did it represent?
Yeah, I wasn't buying that part.
the whole time I thought it was like some like Nazi who was coming to shoot up the place, right? That's like where they were us with it. And then it's just a big like super fan of the actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a stalker of the actor? Is that I
think
it was another unreal person, someone who like comes every single night to watch them and watch the actor. That's why he's coming. And then he's watching the actor at the camp, and the actor doesn't care or like feels scared or anything. And then the actor gets in the car with him, and then the stalker fan is like so profound and tells the actor how to get back on his feet. Like, no,
yeah,
goodbye.
That was the part I did not like. I agree, that part was stupid.
Yeah,
fucking stupid.
So stupid. Okay, next question.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm remembering how fucking stupid
I agree. I agree. And also then, so also explain why the truck like went towards Karen and Natasha that time, and then they called the police. If it was just a super fan.
Totally. But no, it wasn't the same truck. It wasn't the same truck.
Oh, right, right, right. Right. Good point.
I think the trucks were all just a metaphor.
A metaphor for what? Trucking through life?
like
trucking through this book?
Truckers for Nat.
Yeah, was it a metaphor for how the truckers like put the pandemic on their backs? Was that what they were doing?
Literally,
I think that's what it was. I think it was like a trucker appreciation moment.
I think this book was a trucker appreciation book. A tab.
No, that would be a good book. Counts.
Yeah, I want to read a book about the truckers of the pandemic.
I agree.
It
and
would
like,
be better than this.
Yeah, and just like trucking through the country on like a solo mission. That actually could
trucking
be a good...
Trucking through the snow.
That could be a good premise for a book, by the way. It depends who's writing it, honestly. Anything could be a good premise for a book.
Not this guy, Gary.
Not Gary.
Not Gary. We are not Gary girlies. And I don't think anyone expected us to be. And I don't even think Gary would be offended to hear that. You know, he's probably
Gary
like
girlies.
He's probably like, why did you guys read this book?
No, literally, he's like, you're not my target audience. Like, I don't know.
That's
why you read
the
this.
Thing. And Dana's husband Josh put it perfectly. He read the book too, and he was just like, listen, like this book is for like middle aged women in a book club who are like in their 70s. Like, it's not.
I don't think that it is. I think
so
middle aged
like... women is in your 70s.
Sorry, I think he just meant women in their 70s.
No, I don't think it's women in their 70s. Like, they want liveliness. They want, like, fabulousness. They want action. I think this is for, like, pretentious millennials in their 20s and 30s.
I think it's for, like, artists in their 50s.
No, I think it's for, like, pretentious artists, millennials, like, and only people who live in New York City. I can't imagine anyone outside of New York being interested in this book.
Agreed. Okay, like, I feel like I'm sort of in that target audience, and like,
yeah, by the way, that is us.
No, we're not pretentious like that.
I don't think we're like artistic enough to fall into that category.
No, I wouldn't describe us as artistic.
I'm an artist.
Okay, let's get
that painting was a gift, Todd.
Let's power through this. There are betrayals in this novel, but the biggest is between Sasha and Vinod involving the latter's manuscript. What does it say about their friendship that Vinod stayed after learning of Sasha's treacherous act? Quote, they continued to assemble for dinner, but a new quiet reigned, mostly brooding silence as the bungalow residents absorbed what their host had done against their most kindly member. Yeah, to
Vinod
me, this was unforgivable.
He had a nice setup, you know? Like,
that I can understand,
back.
But like at least have a blow up with Sasha, like at least force Sasha to like do something about it, to apologize, like anything. He just was like, meh.
Yeah,
okay.
He like hit him once and then offered to like replenish the champagne he broke.
Right. Oh, I don't even remember. Now it's coming back to me that he hit him and he like broke the table.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to stay with Karen and that outweighed his betrayal.
Weak. That's weak. This person,
so
like, ruined the trajectory of your life. You can go home now. And also, like, Karen's got a plane, and she's got probably homes all over. Let's go somewhere else.
Agreed.
100%.
Oh, yeah, when
what
she
is
like,
she doing there? Like,
when
you
she
have...
was like, I can have someone come fly us to Korea in 2 minutes. I was like, bitch, what?
Then go. Like, go. Why are you choosing to stay with Sasha? Sasha's, like, the worst man on the planet.
Yeah, it's Sasha.
I don't understand the choice here. Next question. Sasha muses that there's a Russian term, krustista, meaning to spin around from one thing to another, trying to make ends meet. That's the human condition for most of us. What do you think of this observation? Passion, regret, mortality. In this novel, which themes about the human condition moved you?
I'm not understanding the question.
I don't think that's the human condition. Like, get a stable job and then you don't have to spin your wheels from one thing to the next. Like, have some stability. And I feel like the generic answers are, like, love and friendship. But I actually was most smitten with, like, human adaptability in this book. They were there and then immediately, like, stopped remembering what normal life was supposed to like and be like and settled into their new roles so quickly and easily. Like, they were in the country with their adult friends living in a house and, like, not subsisting on any normalcy or working, and they just accepted it blindly, and, like, no one ever had that, oh my god, like, what is happening to us moment of the pandemic that I felt every day.
Yeah. I feel like for me, the only theme that, like, that resonated for me is the one of mortality when it came to, like, Vinod, like, yeah, realizing that he was dying, and just, like, going through the process of death. Like, I feel like that had a lot of impact. Like, I felt I was on the journey with him, whereas other times I was not on the journey.
That's a good one.
I agree with both of you.
Great.
I actually mostly agree with Snitch.
That you don't understand the question?
Yeah. Okay, what did you think of the ending of Our Country Friends? If you could suggest an alternate ending, what would it be? Yeah, I mean, what made this book, like, just the cherry on top of a shit sundae was the fact that the most likable character died. And the alternate ending that I would have liked, which was, I thought what was happening, was when they were on the panel demoderating and Vinod had published his book, like, he obviously survived and, like, became a huge star, and, like, that's what I would have liked to see.
Okay, so did that happen? No. Or not? Okay. No. This is what I'm saying about the hypothetical situations. Yeah. Confusing me. I didn't know what was real and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think that Vinod and Karen hooked up, but that was real. And then all of a sudden there's a panel that's not real. So I hated the ending. I can't believe he died. And then all of a sudden, Nat gets adopted.
Yeah.
That to me was so screwed up. They are now co-parenting Nat because Karen's saving them from bankruptcy. And that's a justifiable concession. You can have my daughter because you're bailing us out of a money hole.
Well, actually, because I was
illegal.
I was thinking, like, why would Karen even bail them out? First of all, she could get, like, a nice house anywhere. She's going to wind up building her own house on the property. Like, Karen should be sticking up for Vinod, who, again, like, when are we going to talk about this betrayal?
Yeah.
And if I were Karen, like, I would say, like, thank you and goodbye to Sasha and Masha. But I guess she loves Natasha. Also, Sasha, Masha, and Natasha. So she wants in still, and I guess she made it worth her while. Like, she loves Natasha, and she's going to take her for her own. And also, it seemed like Natasha was thriving under Karen's tutelage. So maybe it's what was best for Nat.
I can't believe that Karen would go back to that property. Even if she's going to build up a house, the sheer memory and association with what went down there, the betrayal, the craziness, the app, the death of her loved friend,
mm-hmm,
crazy town, that she would willingly put her stake in the ground there.
Yeah. Another element of the book that I really liked, and I think one of the human conditions that is touched on that I think the author does a really good job, but also because he's speaking from personal experience, is the immigrant experience. And also all of the members of the house come from different backgrounds, I believe. But, like, Dee is from this country, but all of them come from different countries mostly. And they share, like, how that's, like, shaped their worldview and shaped, like, their experience and just how they even relate to one another. So I feel like the author really hit the nail on the head with that. But it also forged, like, a deeper bond between Nat and Karen, and even, like, the sharing of different terms, and, like, Karen teaching Natasha, like, more Korean, even us, like, learning different, like, Russian terms. And I feel like as, like, Russian, as Ashkenaz Jews, like, a lot of the terms, like, we already did know probably. But I also was reading it like, oh, I know this word, like, lahadlikner, like, she's lighting the shigwat candles. But if I didn't know that, I would be like, what am I reading?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I know the two, and I still was like, lahadlikner. Oh, I was like, oh, lahadlikner. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, that gave us, like, a leg up. Imagine, like, if you didn't even know those terms. So I feel like
99% of the book I also did not understand. So I'm right where we started.
I think he has a big Jewish following, this author.
Got it. I wish, like, they would have, I guess I could have clicked on any word in my Kindle and, like, gotten a definition. But I do wish, like, for any of the, like, the terms that they were using. Sometimes they would describe what it meant, but a lot of times they just would like move on as if the reader knew what it meant. And some of them I didn't, like a lot of the Russian words. So
I will say I learned so much new vocabulary while reading. There were so many words I had no idea about that I pressed and looked at the definition via my Kindle. And it was quite eye-opening. I won't say I remembered all of them, like, to incorporate in a sentence of my own, but it was helpful.
Yeah, I like that. Like, I like to sometimes, like, if I read a word that, you know, then I'm like, what is this? And the definition is just like, oh, that's a great word. Like, that's what I like to highlight. And I'm like, I should incorporate this word into my everyday life. Like, milieu.
Milieu.
Like, milieu.
You guys are my milieu. Yes. Right?
Love that.
Okay, now it's time for the redhead questions. We got so many great questions and a lot of hate mail from you guys. So let's jump right in. First up, Dana, how could you do this to me? Question mark.
In the words of the actor, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Okay, I feel like we're really going easy on you, honestly. Anyways,
you do.
Next question. Yeah, I do. Did anyone
else take it up a notch, ladies?
Did anyone else start to feel physically sick while reading Vinod's fever dreams? I start to feel nauseous just thinking about it. I suppose that's a sign of great writing, but I'll pass, LOL. Don't worry, I will still always be a Dana stan.
Oh, thank you. I love those fever dreams. I thought they were like miraculously written. I really felt as if I was like dreaming. I thought they captured what it feels like to have a fever dream. Like it was blurring the lines between reality and fantasy. I felt too anxious and nauseous reading it because it was just like very powerful in my opinion.
I'm speechless. Like,
Dana, I think you're, like, under some trap. Like, you have to be...
She's getting like, kickbacks.
Literally, Gary, like, has, like, you, like, handcuffed to a
Gary's
bed right
actually...
now.
Gary's in the other room. Yeah, with Josh. He's, like, say
with
nice things.
Josh is tied up, and if I don't speak well, he's going to kill him by the end of the episode.
Now it makes sense.
Something is off with you. Blink once if you need help.
Today's episode of The Redheads is also brought to you by Shelf Savvy. Get the books you love at the price you love. Shelf Savvy searches for the best book deals so you don't have to. Discover premium deals you won't find anywhere else. Not only does Shelf Savvy offer amazing deals on ebooks, but unlike other online book sale sites, Shelf Savvy has paperback and hardcover books, so you can save on books no matter how you like to read. Discounts on print books are always 45% off or more, and for ebook lovers, get your favorite reads for less than $4. Plus, you can add a book to your watch list to make sure that you always get the books on your TBR at the best price. Just add the books you want to read to your watch list, and Shelf Savvy will alert you when it goes on sale, so you never miss a book deal again. Spend less money, read more books. It's that easy. Get fresh deals every day at Shelf Savvy. Visit shelfsavvy.com to learn more and sign up today. It's great for catching up on Redheads reads, and you'll get an email when one of our books goes on sale, which is a great way to make sure you're kept up with our books. Recent Redhead book deals found on Shelf Savvy include Claudia's book at 45% off, The Four Winds at 52% off, The Good Sister is 56% off, and A Slow Fire Burning is 50% off. New deals are added daily, so visit shelfsavvy.com to learn more and sign up today. Okay, next question. I love reading your books every month and follow through with my commitment always, but this month's book was, as we all know, just not it. I'm still struggling to finish it and I'm going to listen to the podcast, but my question is, should I really use my time to finish it or just move on?
Absolutely not. Immediately no.
Well, here's the thing. I'm in the middle of a book right now that I don't like, but it depends what percentage you're at. If you're at 20%, don't finish it. If you're at 50, at least for me and like my OCD and also just like wanting to hit my reading goals, like I would hate to have wasted all that time and like not even get to like check off a book from my list. So don't read it because it's good or bad. Like read it based on like, do you need it for your reading goal and what percentage are you at? So I would say if you're at 50, just keep going and you know, like you can pull a snitch and just read the quotes. Okay, next question. Why did this group of friends continue to stay friends after high school? What kept them together as opposed to growing apart?
Vinod loved Karen. Karen needed her pre-fame roots to ground her. Sasha was a loser who couldn't make new friends in life after the success of his first book. I think just history.
I think
I didn't really question the validity of their friendship. Yeah. I questioned just everything about them as human beings.
Yeah, I agree. Next up, what was Dana smoking when she picked this book? I want some. Dana, what was it?
I think we should go to the second part of her question about in all seriousness.
Oh, yes, in all seriousness. That is the second part. In all seriousness, I cannot wrap my head around why Sasha put the Tea the Sandals box with the book in that gopher or woodchuck hole. It was a groundhog. Out of all the places on his compound, that's where he chose. Do you guys have any ideas as to why he thought this was rational? I can't get over it.
It was temporary. He was going to throw it out. And then when he was on his way to the garbage, he had a change of heart and was like, I can't actually toss it. Let me temporarily put it in this hole. And then he came back to it a few hours later. But at that point, Karen had already discovered it and it was gone. So I think it was just like a logistical error.
Yeah, I mean, Sasha was a madman, so I don't try and, like, see reason in anything that he does.
I mean, are we ever going to address what the fuck is wrong with Sasha? How sick is he? Like, why have we not taken him to a doctor at any point?
Why was he coughing the whole time? Like, I'm sorry, this is a book about COVID. Someone coughs, they have COVID. Like, but he didn't because no one else got it. So it was really his acid reflux?
I think that was just them, like, expecting the reader to be on edge the whole time about when he was going to get COVID. And then it's like, surprise, it's the actor who has it, not him. It was like an annoying literary technique to like keep us on our toes.
Got it. It didn't keep me on my toes. It just made me feel like, you guys are so silly. Like, send Sasha out for a test. Done. He's coughing and you're freaking out about everything
else. They're talking about like how like emaciated he is and like how ill he looks and like how he's like so like sullen. And it's just like, okay, he's clearly sick. Like, even if it's not COVID, he needs to see a doctor. Like, there's something deeper happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
Next question. I'm curious to hear which of the characters each of you like least and if it changed as you read the book. Liked least. Sasha, sorry. Well, I didn't have to think about it. Sorry, Sasha.
Yeah.
Sasha.
Justice for Masha.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Masha, in the beginning, I was like, oh, this bitch with all of her rules, but I ended up liking her.
Yeah, I liked her too. She also was giving like Masha from Nine Perfect Strangers vibes. So that's what I kept envisioning. Also, for those of you who had read lots of Russian literature, do you think that this book has the same characteristics? I think that Steingard was trying to create a modern version of the classical Russian literature, but was having a large cast of characters and a character-driven plot. I don't think it was a coincidence that he used Russian protagonists. I love a good Russian classic, but it just did not have the same effect. Was not for me. So have any of you read any Russian classics, Dana?
No. I haven't.
No.
I have not.
No.
Me neither, so I can't speak to that. Okay, last redhead question. I may be one of the few that actually enjoyed this book, but I thought it was an interesting character study in how we perceive, respond, and interact with others depending on our lived experiences, prejudices, and past trauma. I'm happy that Dana has an ally.
Thank God. Thank you for saving this for last.
Yes. What is one experience that has changed your perspective of the world around you? I actually will go first because for me, like, now, like, giving birth and being a mom, like, has completely changed the way I see so many things. And I'm not going to get into, like, all of the different ways, but that is something that, like, if I had gotten this question a year ago, I don't know how I would have responded. But now it's, like, it's totally changed, like, my premise and so many things. Anyone else?
I was going to say when I saw Amy Schumer in August 2014 at the Comedy Cellar for the first time, but yours is way more impactful.
How? No, I mean, things, you never know what's going to just make a big impact on you.
Yeah, that would just set off like a chain reaction for an obsession that has extended a decade now.
Yeah, but that's how it started. I thought it started with those Snapchat
clips. It did. It was a combo. I saw her at the Cellar. I was like, she's funny. Kind of put it out of my mind. Saw her on the Snapchat app and I was like, wait, this is that hilarious bitch from the Comedy Cellar. And then I went on my deep dive.
Got it. That did change your life, honestly, because now you spend every weekend trying to find Amy Schumer.
Correct.
Anyone else? Life-changing experience counts?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have, like, a life-changing experience. Like, there's so many people I'm obsessed with, but they're not. It wasn't, like, a life-changing experience.
Yeah. No, not. Don't listen to Dana's answer, but just, like, an experience that, like, maybe something happened or you did something that, like, then changed the way you saw other things because you experienced it, like, for yourself or, you know, something wasn't the way you thought it was going to be.
I don't have an answer.
I guess this is also a very personal question, honestly.
Yeah. Like, our dad died. Yeah, that changed my life.
Oh, that'll do it. That's a really good answer,
counselor.
That'll
do it.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of thing that they're looking for here.
And I was going to say, I had to move to Michigan for a job. That's a big yeah. And I think that definitely changed quite a bit about just, like, how I perceive my relationship with friends and distance from family and the importance of those relationships.
That is a really good answer.
Thank you so much.
Okay, next it's time for the moral of the story. Anyone want to take a stab at it? For me, it was Dana is fallible.
For me, it was do not read.
Rebecca?
For me, it is...
And then we'll hear what it actually is from Dana.
I don't have the words. For me, it's silence.
Yeah.
It's golden from all of these
freaks. Silence speaks volumes. Dana, what's the moral?
In a last-ditch effort to save myself, I'm going to say form over content. I loved it for its writing. I agree the plot was flawed.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Now,
can we please stop talking about this?
Yes. Okay. We're almost there. And by the way, so next is usually the Hollywood treatment, but honestly, there's just like too many characters. And like, I personally don't care. If there was anyone who you saw as someone the whole time, please share. For me, it was Masha as Masha from Nine Perfect Strangers. Other than that, no.
For me, the actor was James Franco.
Oh, that's good.
Good one.
That is good. Anyone else? Like,
no imagery was conjured.
Nat wasn't Billie Eilish for you?
Nat was BTS.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Also, like, shout out to BTS. Like, so much free press. Yeah. Also, learning that BTS, like, what it actually stood for, that was kind of interesting. She was like, the girl in the class didn't know. Like, how do you not know? I'm like, I'm a pop culture expert. I didn't know.
Wait, either. I don't remember. What does it stand for?
I don't remember, but she told us. It stands for two things, and I forgot.
She told us, but one of them was, like, bittersweet. Like,
yeah.
There was two, but one of them, it didn't even say, it wasn't even BTS. It was, like, BBS. And I was like, where's the two?
Yeah, okay. No, one of them is Bangtan Boys. So, yeah. Like, Bangtan, BT, and then S. And then the other one is Bangtan Sonya Noden. That's and then the I'm other seeing. One, which means Bulletproof Boy Scouts. So it means, like, a lot of stuff, I guess. Anyways, that was interesting. Interesting factoid. Thanks, Nat. Now it is time for our overall rating of the book. Dana, let's start with you.
I gave it a 3.7.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Rebecca?
I was going to give it a 3, but I...
What?
As we've spoken about it, I hated it so much more than I realized. And so I think I'll give it a 2.5.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 1.
Fuck you, snitch.
I gave it a 1 on Goodreads, but it, like, I hate to be so negative, so I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Thank you so much.
I thought you were going to say, but I would hate to give it a 1, so I'll give it a 0.
Like, I just, I'm giving it a pity 0.5 just because, like, it's someone, like, he took, obviously, a lot of time to write this book.
Clearly, he didn't. Like, it's still like, the pandemic's still happening. Like, it didn't take him that long.
Yeah. So, our overall Redheads rating for Our Country Friends by Gary Sheingart is a 2.175.
That feels right.
Seems fair.
That's right.
That feels right. That does feel right, honestly, because that feels, like, high for me, and it feels low for Dana.
Yes. I think it in the twos is fair.
Great. That concludes our recap of this book. I'm so glad. What's so funny is, like, this was our least favorite book ever, yet this is about to be our longest episode ever. I guess,
we,
like,
had
the
to
more
talk about
we hate
everything
something,
else.
Yeah, no, but also, like, the more we dislike something, the more room for discourse there is, I guess. Now let's talk about
so
the
beautiful.
Other books that we read this month. Snitch, did you read anything?
I finally finished the Simple Wild series.
Tell us everything. We've been waiting for the update.
It's really, really cute. Fuck, let me try and remember. So, I read the second and the third book. There's a fourth book, but that's about that girl, Maria. Remember, like, the vet who was in love with, the main guy?
Yeah, that's really, like, bleak.
Yeah, I didn't read the fourth. I have, like, no desire to care. but they end up like moving to this like place in Alaska and like literally build like this like crazy ranch, living like on this like idyllic lake, like just like loving life. But then they start fighting because like she's not loving Alaska, but like they like got married or whatever, and they're like having a hard time with it. And Jonah's like, you like aren't really like giving what you need. And they were like gonna break up, but then they realize like whatever, it's a whole thing. Then she gets pregnant, and it's really cute. And they live happily ever after. And she like builds this like whole life in this like little town in Alaska.
How does she find joy in Alaska though? Because it sounds like she was like just like her mom, but then she made a different choice.
Yeah. So she really held on to that like I'm my mom sort of thing. And that was kind of hindering her really like accepting Alaska. And then once like he kind of called her out on it, she was like, yeah, so she was self-sabotaging, but she like built this life. Like she had these like neighbors that she like became friends with. She got involved like in the like town committee. She started a garden, like this like whole thing. One of her neighbors, like who like was like a real dick or whatever, she like became her best friend and is not, and it was just, it was really wholesome. It was lovely. And I really enjoyed reading it. And her and Jonah are really fucking cute. Oh, and Jonah like got into a car crash again. So it was like a whole thing.
Got it. And what
not
did they
crash? Plane crash.
What did they do for work?
He's a pilot.
No, but like, where did
oh,
he work?
Oh, and sorry. She got a ginormous settlement from her father, and they started another charter company with their own planes because they have a hangar on their property.
Good. You love a happy ending. Why couldn't that be in the original book? Because like that sounds like a book I want to read.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Great, Bex. Did you read anything?
I did. I read Golden Girls.
Oh my God, yay.
Remember, Jack?
Yes.
Because Jackie's been wanting me to read this forever. So when I was on vacation, I read Golden Girl by Ellen Hildebrand. It was so cute and such a good read and just like all of the wholesome things that I needed for a fabulous book read. So I really loved it. Thanks for that reco, Jack.
I'm so glad.
I guess I would give it a 4.5. I mean, a 4 out of 5.
Great. That's fair.
That's fair. And then I read a Danish choice. It wasn't as horrific as this one. I read Minor Indignities, which was super good.
Yeah, I read that too.
What do you think, Jackie?
You know, like I just the whole time I was – I actually recommended it to Dana because yeah. Kristen's husband Pete recommended it to me. And the whole time I was reading it, I was like, Dana needs to read this because I know she would like it. And yes. I thought it was like well written and like had really good elements, but it was a little too pretentious for me, just a little.
Correct. And again, I asked for a beach read and this is what I was given. And it was so not a beach
She's
read
obviously
that I
never been to the beach
it the whole time.
She's never been to the beach.
Yeah, it was like dreary cold weather college antics, which is the exact opposite of what I wanted to read about. Like I needed a coconut and I needed like a little Nantucket energy, and that was what was brought to me via Golden Girl.
Yeah,
so those were kind of polar opposite ends of the spectrum, but it was a good 2 months of books.
Nice. It was just the right amount of pretentious for me.
Oh, for sure. That's clearly your vibe. I imagine you read a lot of books, so I'm just going to share what I read quickly. I read, before I gave birth, I read this book called Made in Manhattan, M-A-D-E, by Lauren Lane. It was just like a cute rom-com-y book about a romance in Manhattan, you know, like an enemies to lovers situation. It was really, it was just like a little too light, I would say. I rated it a 3 on Goodreads, but it's been living as a 2 in my mind because I like threes, you know, I just don't think they're like that great, but they're enjoyable. This was just like too slow and there wasn't any substance, but sometimes you want that and you like that. So I would recommend that for this situation. Actually, a 2 feels really low. A 2.5, I'll give it. And then also, I started the book, what is it called? 1 second. One Night on the Island by Josie Silver, because Josie Silver wrote One Day in December, which is like one of my favorite Snitch's Choice type books. So I just assumed this one would be good. I think I've been reading it for over a month now. As of last night, I decided to just power through it. I was inspired by Our Country Friends just to like read really quickly and just get to the end of it. So now I'm at like 65% and I will be finishing it because I don't want to, you know, lose this book for my reading goal. But it's really not good and it's really, really slow and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone at all. And that's really frustrating because I only have so much time on my hands and I'm spending it reading this book and Our Country Friends. And like, please just send me a book recommendation for something that's really good, but not too triggering. Thank you. Dana?
If it's any consolation, the books I've read this past month are some of the best books I've ever read. That comes wow. with a real trigger warning because I think maybe my taste is not the same.
Well, here's people's. The thing. You rated Our Country Friends a 3.5. If any book that you've rated a 3.5, I wouldn't take fair, as a recommendation fair, from fair, you. Fair. So I think we're fair. Safe.
Okay. Did you read? I started also with Golden Girl by Ellen Hildebrandt. So funny. I really liked it. I gave it a 3.6. So that it was cute and a quick read and very A+. Then I read Know My Name by Chanel Miller, which is the Stanford rape case. It's like a yeah. memoir. Yeah, with Brock Turner. It was like mm-hmm. all over the news, and this yeah. is her memoir in it. It was incredible. Everyone's been telling me to read it for years, and I kind of disregarded it because I prefer fiction, but it was worth uh-huh. it. It was incredible. I gave it a 4.4. So well written. Such a impactful story. Definitely, like, be aware that you're about to read about sexual assault before you start it, but very good. Then oh, wow. I read American okay. Past. Yeah, so good. Everyone should read it. Then I read American Pastoral by Philip Roth. I gave that a 4.5, which is also high for me. But I would not recommend it if you did not like Our Country Friends, because it's a similar, boring, well-written, long vibe. But I adored it.
And yeah, I don't think this is a Philip Roth sort of group.
Yeah.
I think don't I read think it, we know but that I much about it. Ourselves.
If you liked Our Country yeah, Friends, it's a no for me, dog. If you liked Our Country Friends, read American Pastoral. And then I read The World According to Garp by John Irving. I gave that a 4.8, one of the best books I have ever read. Have not stopped thinking about it. My mom notified me thereafter that it's also a movie with Robin Williams. May he rest in peace. So I watched that immediately after. Didn't rise to the glory of the book, but still a cute movie. Amazing book. Loved it so much. And that was it.
Wow. And it's just like, why didn't we choose that?
I know. It was really long. And like, I actually am not confident that we would have loved it as a group because it's not like perfect for a book club setting. But for your own leisure reading, like, I thought it was wonderful.
Okay. 610 pages. Yeah. I don't think that yeah. that would have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a book club pick, but like on your own time, if read it. It's so good.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Now, before we let you guys go, we're going to let you know what the next book that we're reading is.
Thank God.
It's a Snitch's Choice, which is always the antidote to a Dana's Choice.
Yes. Yes.
Snitch, yes. What are we reading?
I'm really excited about this one because it has really good ratings, like, everywhere that I've looked. I mean, I guess so did Our Country Friend, so maybe we take that with a grain of salt.
So did Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Okay. This one's called All Roads Lead Here, Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, by Mariana Zapata. It's kind of Simple Wild Vibes-ish, like, high level, this woman, you know, gets a divorce and moves to the mountains.
And yeah, the cover looks all. Like Simple Wild.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit more mature, and I've just heard good things. So I'm really excited, and I hope we like it.
And it has a 4.4 on Goodreads and mm-hmm. has 46,000 ratings. So that's wow. a recipe for success. And if it's not a good book, then, you know, we'll
46,000 people have bad taste.
Then we'll all just come after you, Snatcher. That's just that's what fine. Will happen. But you can handle it, okay? We've all mm-hmm. been there.
We've all been there.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for another wonderful episode. I'm so glad we had the girls back together. Thank you to the Redheads for powering through with us. You know, that's the beauty of this book club. Like, no one has read the books that we're choosing, and we're all getting out of our comfort zones. And I think that that's important. So agree. I'm going to let you guys go. It is so late. I have so much to do. So love you same. All so much. We will see you next month for Snitch's
love
Choice.
You.
Love you.
Love you.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.